Brandon,
how are you?
I'm good. How?
I'm good.
That was
Hello.
so convincing.
I know, sorry, you were breaking up there for just a second, so hopefully we don't have any technical difficulties like we did a couple weeks ago, but that wouldn't be a normal show if we didn't have any technical difficulties. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Writer's Block. My name is Brandon Morehouse.
And I'm Jake Flukiger.
And this week we're going to be talking about poetry. Now, this should be lovely because I know nothing about poetry. But before we get into that, we got to go through our opening spiel. Jake, if people are listening back to us, what should they be doing?
Well, you should definitely be going to podbean.com and giving us a like and a follow and a listen so you can be updated when we do post new episodes. But you can also find us on any of the other streaming platforms.
Yes. And if you are live listening to us, feel free to join in on this conversation. It's an open mic. You just kind of tap that little mic button in the little left-hand corner of your phone. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
just like that.
Jake, how was your week?
This week has been a mixed bag,
Oh, okay.
but it is. So I have Friday off, so tomorrow's the last day of the week, which is awesome.
Yay.
Super excited about that. And school gets over in like, I think we have 17 more school days.
Very nice. Very nice.
So there you
Joe.
go. How about yours? How's your week?
You know, it's been a rough week here in Omaha. It really has been. It's Omaha, for those of you who don't know, Omaha last week, last Friday specifically, was hit with, oh, I think they said there was the area, I shouldn't say Omaha specifically, hit with 9 tornadoes. So there's a lot of people that have, lost a lot of stuff, not just stuff. There's people that have lost their lives, and it sucks because being from the Midwest, that's something that's very terribly this time of year. It's on our minds. We may joke about, oh yeah, there's a tornado, so we go out and see. We do. Midwesterners definitely run outside. But how do you come back from something like that? Like your house is gone. Everything that you've worked for however many years is gone. And you don't even have like a picture because it's gone. Don't have a car. Some people don't have a house or a job to go to. It's like start all over with nothing. And it sucks. I think there's a community north of here that got hit. Half the town is gone. And unfortunately, with those small communities, when a tornado hits the town, it's never coming back, and it just sucks. So it's been emotional. And then the night after that, we got hit with another round of storms, and we got some more rain today. So even those that didn't lose everything, they might have property damage to their house. Well, that rain affects mold and stuff like that to the house, and if the wind was strong enough, it could move the house. So I'm fine. There was one that formed a little close for comfort to downtown Omaha, which I had a lot of people reach out to me. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. It didn't hit us that badly, but it's been tough. It really it
It's
pulls
been a
people in.
week.
It's been a week. Not to get all super emotional with that, but if I mean, just think about it. That's what I tell people. Like they have nothing, nothing. They don't even have a bed to go home to. They have what they are wearing, and that's it.
Makes you feel very lucky.
It makes you, yeah, lucky and just unfortunate for them. So,
All
but
right.
before that's highly emotional for me. I'm not used to having that level of emotion.
I'm very proud of you.
We don't do emotion in my house. I don't do emotion, anyways. So before we go on to this week's episode of poetry, we need to do our little thing, Jake.
Yeah.
What's our little thing?
Well, it's the off-topic topic.
I love that we came up with that name. It's such
You
a good
came up with that name. Are you kidding me?
name. It's a we effort. This show's a we effort. Anything
Is
that
a
one
we
of us says,
effort.
the other one gets credit for it as well.
Oh, little side note and stuff. One of the kids that I work with, so for those of you that don't know, I work at a school
specifically for kids that are on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And one of the kids came into the gym the other day and was like, "So can we just do Wii Sports Resort today?"
No.
And I was dying. I'm like, no. First of all, we don't have Wii Sports Resort for this many children. And second of all, no. Like, no.
That's hilarious. No, that doesn't count as gym. I wish it would.
That was the fun part. It was hilarious.
All right. So we got to do our off-topic topic. For those of you who don't know, it's when one host hits the other host with a topic they have not prepared for. So, Jake, it's my week to hit Jake with one. Jake.
Yes. Yes.
So, a common thing that used to be prevalent in medieval society.
Okay.
Especially in paint. Do you know anything about medieval times?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, one thing that is a mystery that no one can figure out, right? It's one of the great mysteries of life, is that on a lot of medieval paintings and drawings, there are knights fighting snails.
Oh.
And they don't know what that's about. They don't know what it's symbolizing, what it's an allegory for, per last week's episode.
Per last week's episode. So clever of you to get that in there. So
my question is, as a writer, if you came across that, how would you explain that in a story?
Ooh, in a story?
Yeah. And you can make it brief. You don't have to go into like 70,000 words with it because we don't have time for that.
Oh, come on.
Nope. Keep it brief. It's a blurb.
So typically for a medieval, I would think, you know, fantasy. But obviously we have to think outside the box because agents and publishers and readers are all looking for something to be a little bit different with the story. So I'm going to go with the fact that they are knights and they are alien snails that are the size of buses and Ooh, that they are fighting them for domination of the planet.
Okay. Okay. I actually don't hate that idea. Like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And as an avid sci-fi, science fiction, fantasy reader and writer, I love that idea. That's actually really cute. I like that.
Thank you. What about you? What would you have done with that?
When I heard it, I was like, ooh, I like that. That would be kind of a cute story. I went with young adult or maybe children, where it was like, maybe these are snails that are like just trying to be buddies with the human race. And they're from underground and they're just trying to be people's friends, but the humans are killing them and they kill them into extinction.
Oh, what a sweet story. Other than the killing into extinction part.
I mean, maybe the humans are the bad people in that one. Maybe they're the bad guys. Like, let's just...
That's so Fern Gully.
I know. I mean, humans are like...
The worst?
The worst. Anyways. Anyways, I saw that today and was like, I gotta ask you that. Like, so,
yeah. That is fascinating. Good one.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into tonight's topic. If anybody wants to join in on this conversation, again, feel free to hit that mic button. You're welcome to join in. So, Jake.
Yes.
I'm going to ask, we cover basics. We always like to cover basics, right?
Yes.
What is poetry?
So, poetry is different than prose in a couple of ways. Not all poetry has to rhyme. But poetry stylistically is done when you have sentences that are broken up onto different lines, and each of those lines starts with a capital letter, okay. But not all of them are full sentences.
Okay. Okay. Let's cover some history of poetry. Do you know a whole lot about poetry? I feel like you're a big poetry person.
I do love poetry. I don't know history of poetry as well as some other people might, but
okay. You're failing me on this one, so never mind.
It's fine.
We'll skip it. It's okay.
Rude, rude, rude.
So, yeah. Because, like for me, when I think of poetry, yes, it tends to rhyme, but I also understand, like, there's usually a deeper meaning behind it. Like, and it's only just a couple sentences, right? But how true is that?
Okay. So with poetry, some poetry can be allegorical, but not all of it has to be. You have poetry that is simply there for the sake of poetry. Most poetry that is done really well says things without actually saying them.
Okay.
And I think that's the best way to put it, because it's not necessarily where you have underlying meanings.
Mm-hmm.
You simply have these beautiful ways of describing things without actually describing them. It's like the analogy of, like, how do you draw an egg? And the point is that you don't draw the egg, you draw the shadow that the egg is casting, and you draw the color of the light on the egg. You don't actually draw the egg.
Oh, okay. Well, we draw eggs very differently then.
What are you talking about? What are you drawing?
I'm not a big... How do you not draw an egg? Don't you just draw, like, an egg shape and, like, there's my egg?
Thank you, smart aleck. I'm talking about a little bit more than, like, preschool level art here.
Oh, okay. Carolyn, go ahead.
I was going to say, I liked the, you know, shameless product placement for last week's episode on allegories, Jake. Very well done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We've done that twice already.
But nice. Also, the whole, you know, drawing of an egg. Yeah, I draw a circle and that's my egg.
Yeah. See, Jake's over here getting deep. And poetry, I feel like he's usually very deep to begin with.
Poetry is definitely, like, intense.
Yeah. It's very emotional. It hits a lot of deep emotions. And I'm not a big poetry person. So I'm going to probably be asking, like, a lot of questions.
Okay. I'm going to throw this out here. And hopefully, Brandon, you can pick up on what I am throwing out there. And if you don't, that is totally okay, too.
Got it. I'll do my best.
One fish, two fish.
Okay, Dr. Seuss.
Finish the line.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Yay, you got it.
I literally had to stop to think.
I honestly have no clue
what you're trying to say here. Like, oh, he's quoting Dr. Seuss.
I'm quoting Dr. Seuss. Good Dr. Seuss is poetry.
So, okay, that was going to be my next question. So his book is all poetry.
So Dr. Seuss's books are all poetry. They're all written beautifully in this storytelling kind of way. They are not all actual stories, though. Like, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish doesn't have a plot. Right. It's not like you get from point A to point B. It's just a bunch of words that rhyme and are kind of rambling, and he makes up words left and right. But there are some of his pieces that are a little bit more deep and that have a greater meaning, that are more like parables or fables, where you look at, like, the Sneetches or even the Grinch. Both of those are really excellent examples of using poetry to really tell a story and get a message across.
Okay. Carolyn, you had your hand up.
Well, that's what I was going to say, like the Sneetches or the Better Butter Battle or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that one's a great one. So you have Dr. Seuss using silly little rhymes, using poetry in a way that is kind of more farcical. But it is done in such a way that children are captivated by it. Even adults are captivated by it. And, you know,
I was going to say, I'm an adult and I love Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I love Dr. Seuss too.
Not an adult by any means.
Well, I guess I shouldn't say I'm an adult. I'm the age of an adult.
Yeah, yeah, mentality and like personality and maturity wise, no, I'm a teenage boy.
Oh, see, I'm only six, so you're well ahead of me.
Yeah, Jake's like pure innocence over here. Like,
I don't know about that.
The other day we were on the phone and he hit me. I said something. Oh, I said, I'm going to squeeze it in here. Parking, right? I was parking. I was like, oh, let me squeeze in here. Let me just squeeze right in or something like that. And he's like, yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Yep, I made a funny joke.
Not a lewd joke, my God.
Ready for that from Jake.
It was, you know, I was pretty proud of myself. So
I'm proud of you, Jake.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Go on. I've got questions that I'm writing down. So
no, you're good. So when we talk about things like Dr. Seuss, and especially because he makes up words, we end up with really these kind of fun stories and tales that we remember, and because they rhyme. Brandon, like the fact that you knew one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, like the fact that you could finish that, even though it's been probably what, 20, 30 years since you've read it?
Long enough. Yeah. I mean, 6 months, but that's fine.
Okay, 6 months. the point is that it sticks with you. Yeah. And that's really kind of the main gist of poetry, is to have these things that are deeply thought-provoking or things that stay with you in the long term.
Right. Okay. Learn something new. That's what we do here, right? Like,
yeah, that's kind of the goal.
Right. Are you continuing to go on?
I think I'm done with the Dr. Seuss portion of today's discussion.
Thank you. Okay.
Today's episode was brought to you by the letter C.
I love it. Love it.
Oh, my gosh.
So thinking about telling a story and how it's basically the short version of a book, right?
Yes.
Or any sort of writing. Would music be considered poetry?
Yes.
Like in a form of it? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, music. I think there is music that is more along the vein of poetry than some others. Right. A lot of music has stuff that rhymes. In all actuality, I think that some of the best music that matches poetry is actually rap.
Oh, okay. How so?
Rap does this. Poetry usually has a rhyme, or can have a rhyme and a meter, and rap follows the same concepts as that. So I find that tends to be the most stylistically close to, without using the same instrumental versions to make up the difference in the meter itself or in the rhythm.
I was gonna say the beat.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Now, what about haikus? Or they like they like their own area.
So haikus are their own area, and then that's when you jump into different styles of poetry.
Okay.
You have things like free verse, which doesn't have to rhyme at all and is just simply words on the page that are, it's almost like flash fiction in a way. It's setting a scene up or a feeling or a vibe in a much more condensed form. You have things like haikus, which are three lines long, with specific parameters as far as the number of syllables. That goes the same for limericks. as well. There's a lot of different rhyming meters that you can use that goes into like touching back to the bard himself, to Shakespeare, has all of his sonnets that are beautiful prose.
Also, I didn't just mean to give a thumbs down.
Or poetry.
I was like, Carolyn, why are you giving us a thumbs down?
Carolyn's over here like, Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, gross.
I actually...
Nobody wants to hear that.
Like rhyming conventions, iambic pentameter and all that. I remember Shakespeare and I liked some of his plays, but I never got to read his sonnets. So I will add that to my list. Thank you, Jake.
You're very welcome. The sonnets, taken out of context, are still beautiful because of, again, the meter and everything. It's Shakespeare. They're well done.
So if someone were wanting to become like a full-time poet, right?
Okay.
What would kind of like, we know that as authors and writers, one of the biggest things that to help our craft is we need to read, right? That is going to do more work for you than you will ever realize. And I've definitely started to notice it in my work now that I've been reading a lot more. Do you have poet books, right? Like,
oh yeah. So this is a subject that I want to touch on maybe a little bit later in the episode, but I'll touch on it briefly here. And that is that there are three written by single authors, and there are also poetry anthologies. Okay. And so we can different styles of poetry.
I mean, if you want to talk about it, go ahead and go with it. That's why we're here, right? Just go.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah. So you have entire books written by single poets. You have poets like Emily Dickinson, Robert Frost. Some really famous poets have entire books with just filled with their poetry. And then you have poetry anthologies, and the anthologies can be from multiple different authors, and maybe anthology is you will get one poem each, or maybe you get, you know, a small collection of yours. And so the anthologies are kind of where I feel like a lot of poetry gets put out there by writers that normally maybe write in prose. And because of that, you know, you might not have an entire collection enough to do a book by yourself, but you might have a subject matter that can be put together into this conglomeration.
Go ahead, Jake.
Oh, you're good.
I was thinking, like, I would like to give some examples on that, because I'm not an avid poetry reader, as I've previously stated. And
you're
And for our newer listeners, feel free to jump on. This is an open discussion. If you have questions or comments, feel free to hit that mic button. So, what are like? Would Edgar Allan Poe's be considered poetry?
so he has a lot of poetry, okay. Like The Raven.
Ooh, yes.
Is a very famous one. So Edgar Allan Poe has poetry and short stories. So there are some books that have his complete works as part of that. He's known for his poetry, but he's also known more for being kind of the side of that, of the genres of short stories and poetry.
Now, speaking of Edgar Allan Poe, there was one thing I sent to Jake when I saw it, and I think that it was a great way to bring literature into people's minds and a great way to represent the story. And Jake, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, I do.
Can you, what did I send you?
You sent me a clip from The Simpsons.
Yes. So in like the early 90s, the Simpsons did a lot of like book themed stuff. But they did a Treehouse of Horrors, one of theirs. And it's one of my favorite episodes. They do The Raven, but they give it like a Simpsons spin on it. And it's done amazing. I love it. It's like 2 minutes. It's maybe 3 minutes. I don't know. It's short. But I sent it to Jake because I'm a huge Simpsons fan. Jake is not.
Yes.
Yes. He was going to say, it's not that I have anything against the Simpsons. I just don't watch them. Right. That's exactly what he's going
to
say.
Yeah.
So I just have to interject. Did you ever watch the show Good Eats with Alden Brown?
I did not.
Well, it's a cooking show, but he does an entire episode kind of based on the Raven because he has this mixer and it's like a chicken.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. You have to YouTube it. It's so funny.
I will have to look that up.
That's 30 years ago when the Simpsons were still good. So I feel you on that, Brandon.
That's early Simpsons and it's just amazing. And I want to give another example real quick, Jake, because I want to know for sure.
Well, before you give this other example, I want to kind of touch base on why that was so effective.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The reason that was so effective is because you're taking a piece of poetry that can be difficult to understand, that a lot of people, and poetry in general can be difficult to understand what the author might have been talking mm-hmm. about. We know that the Raven has a theme of a raven, but really it's more talking about death. And so, like, for me, when I was young and we studied poetry in, like, sixth grade and we read stuff like that, I had no idea what was going on.
Dude, sixth grade seems young for the Raven.
Oh, I had the most amazing sixth grade teacher. You have no idea. We did all sorts of amazing things.
I'm just going to throw out that Peter Pan is a kid's book, and it's all about death. So sixth grade is like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, so when Brandon sent me the Simpsons cartoon, that clip and everything, it's amazing how much seeing it visually was something that was not only helped to clarify a few things that were going on in the poem, but also it was a great way to get people involved in the actual concept of poetry itself. So many people steer clear of poetry, and I find that really sad, because there's so many great poets out there and some really emotionally driven pieces that I guess people don't find it very accessible.
I feel like you're looking right at me. Right at me.
I don't know what you're
Yeah, you're about. Full of shit. Like,
yeah, I feel attacked right now.
I feel attacked.
Okay. I will say usually after we talk about a topic, because I like to go, I don't like to prep for the show too much. I like to give it, this is what it is, and my questions are genuine questions. Usually afterwards, I'll jump into a topic. Biographies. Memoirs. After we had that episode, I've jumped into some, and I've actually really enjoyed them more than I thought I would. But, so.
Yeah.
I might.
Carolyn, go ahead.
So I didn't think I liked poetry, and I still am not a super fan, but I read a book by Kwame Alexander called Solo, and it was a novel in verse. So it was more like the free verse poetry. And I just loved it. It was really good. So that kind of was my little intro into poetry that wasn't all structured and everything.
Nice.
I love it. I love that because novels in verse are such a big thing, especially in middle grade right now. It's a big deal.
What is novels in verse?
Well, let's let Carolyn go really quick. Because
okay, since I'm not an expert.
Oh, oh wait. Oh, there's two
we got two Carolyns on. We got two Carolyns on.
Okay, you can call me C Dub. That's okay.
Okay.
I'll turn off now.
C Dub.
You're good.
C Dub. But novels and verse. So the first book that comes to mind in my head is Crank by Hopkins.
And okay. Very nice.
It is. It's kind of in verse, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah.
But okay. You get that's an example. What's the difference?
So, C Dub, why don't you hop on and tell us what a novel in verse is?
I suppose it, since I'm not an expert, it would be a story written in verse, more like a free verse kind of a thing that has all the elements of what would be a novel, but instead it's in these shorter verses. There's a lot of white on the page, so I think it's less of a block to kids who don't love reading, and there's that rhythm and meter that you were talking about earlier. I didn't notice any rhyming, and it's been a few years, but it just felt, I felt good after reading it. It just was a good story. And there's another one, I think, Nick Stone or Nick Brooks. There's some other people have done it recently, and I want to get into those too, you know, add it to my list.
Yeah, absolutely. Novels in verse basically are just a novel in poetic form. Okay. And there's this, it's been popular for a couple of years now, and some agents are kind of saying, I don't want it, but most agents are saying, yeah, heck yes, give it to me. The novels in verse they're difficult to write well, but they are so beautiful when done right. I have a friend, an agent sibling, who has an amazing one that they have done, and I'm hoping, crossing my fingers really, really hard, that it gets picked up by a publisher pretty soon, because it's marvelous.
Marvelous, huh?
C-Dub was
marvelous.
Sorry, C-Dub, was the book you read Solo Educator's Guide?
No, it was Solo. So I bet there's an educator's guide that goes with it. It just was Solo. It has a red cover.
Who was the author? Do you remember?
Kwame Alexander.
Okay, because I'm putting it on my to-read list.
And Kwame does a lot in the kidlit area, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love it. And C-Dub, I think this is the first time you've ever actually been used the mic on our show before. So.
Oh, C-Dub has been on the show before with the mic. It's just been a while.
Okay. I was going to say, I've never heard the other Carolyn talk. I love it.
Isn't it marvelous?
It is. And C-Dub, I love your name. It's awesome.
So good. So I want to touch base on kind of something that outside of Dr. Seuss that got me really interested in poetry when I was younger. Was it?
Let me take and a that guess. I get two guesses here.
You get two guesses. Okay. Go for
it. Where's Waldo?
What? No.
Oh, sorry. My no. Bad. That's a topic for next season.
Oh my god.
Not a topic for next season. I A Light in the Attic?
Yeah, Shel Silverstein, okay. If I could talk.
Was that who you were going to say? Because I wrote that down earlier. I was going to ask about that one.
Yeah, actually, that's who I was going to say. I had my fifth grade teacher read us the Shel Silverstein books. And every day she'd get it, sit us down, and she'd read four or five poems to us. And I absolutely loved it. It was marvelous. And even before that, when I was a lot younger, I was in this community program at the library, and we did I'm Being Eaten by a Boa Constrictor.
Yes.
where we all like repeated it, and it was so much fun as a young kid to have that happen. And I didn't realize at the time that I was being introduced to poetry.
So I've read the, well, I've quote unquote read those. That was, you know, fifth grade era, somewhere there.
Okay.
For me. Okay. But I mean, those ones, I mean, you can never go wrong with the Scholastic Book Fair. You can't, you see those carts going down the hall and you're like, I'm all excited because there's books. Like,
oh, I have a love relationship with that. Carolyn.
So when I was younger, I had a book called Sing a Song of Popcorn, and it's an anthology of all different kinds of poems. And it has illustrations with it, and some are like kind of fun and nonsensical, called like the Jumblies. And there are other poems like Robert Frost's Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. And
lovely. That
was like the picture with it and the poem. I fell in love with it, and I read it probably when I was six or something. And so that was my kind of introduction to poetry. But I'm not a huge poetry fan, but I have to find people I like Frost, I definitely like.
I mean,
I kind of want to go back and reread A Light in the Attic.
You should. You should.
I don't remember reading that all the way. I will have to.
Well, do that one and Where the Sidewalk Ends, and you know. Kathleen, go ahead. Maybe.
Sorry, I forgot to hit the button.
You're good. It's
all good. I just started. I already said a whole paragraph, you know.
You're on mute. I love it.
Oh, God. I thought I was on a Zoom call for a second. Anyway, I think I'm glad we're having this discussion because I love the thoughts about the children's book being poetry. Because I loved all those books, every one that you mentioned. But I always found it, I felt like I was really not very smart about poetry as I got older. And, you know, they were forcing us to read poetry in English class or whatever. And for some reason, I felt like I had a deficit with that, like I couldn't really understand it clearly.
Yeah.
And so I kept trying though as I got older. And I wanted to comment too that I do hear poetry and music a lot. Yeah. And that was very inspirational. So I always love to read lyrics of songs that really touch me. I also, I have a friend who she has kind of in the self-help yoga, you know, journals. She has books out there in that area. But for the first time, she wrote a book of poetry. And what I liked about it and found to be really interesting and made it easy to read was it was really, really autobiographical. And it was about, you know, there was poems about her mother, her spouse, her child. And because I knew her so well, I was able to really understand the beauty of this poetry. Like, yeah. I would be weeping reading this. Like, it was just so beautiful. So like young Pablo, I guess that's how you pronounce his name. I like his work. It's something that really speaks to the heart, but that is not too flowery, or I don't know how to describe it, but it has to be really real to me for me to understand it. I have to study it. You know, I would really have to take my time with it. And whereas I don't think I could write a poem to save my life, you know, I don't know. I, my husband, on the other hand, loves poetry. We have tons of poetry books in the house, so I may start to do a little more of that. But it was really when my friend wrote that, her book is called Softening Time, and it was just lovely and so real with a lot of emotion in it. And so I really appreciated that very much. And I think it kind of sparked my wanting to read more poetry.
And see, Kathleen, I agree with you. There's times where I don't feel, and there's a difference between like quote unquote adult poetry versus more kid poetry. Mm-hmm. And I can't wrap my head around what they're trying to say. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, it's like abstract art. What are you trying to say? I understand it. And it's very like elitist. Like, I think of like adult poetry and they're like, oh, it's poetry. It's not for everyone. It's like, well, it should be for everyone because everyone interprets it differently. That's the point of like reading, and it should be for everyone. If you don't get it, then it's not that it's bad, but you shouldn't look down on somebody who doesn't. So I get that too, where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm quite, for me, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm smart enough to get poetry. Like,
I totally understand that. And I know what I've done more recently. I have a lot more time on my hands because I'm retired, but is like reading one or two lines of the poem.
Right.
And then pausing and really thinking about it. I think under pressure of like being in school, the pressure was too much for me to grasp and really appreciate the poetry. And that's just my own issue, my own problem. Yeah. But now I feel like I'm opening up to it a little bit more, and taking time to really sit with it. And I think that's something I have to do in order to really appreciate it. Because it's beautiful. I know it's beautiful. The words sound beautiful, but I like to really understand fully what it means, you know?
Right.
So I would probably have to do a deep dive, you know, <Right. laughs> into the poem. And we probably all have many poems in our heart somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
I would agree with that. Carolyn.
So I meant to say that this again can be brought back to last week's episode of Allegories. You know,
yay.
Poems have deeper meanings, and like, I like Frost because, yes, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening might be about life and death and whatever, but at the same time, it could just be a nice scene of a man hanging out watching the snowfall. God damn it.
I will hands down take that.
I'm very impassioned.
Absolutely. I love it. I think that the poems and poetry can be, I feel like can be that way too, where reading it at different times in your life, you see different things in it and peel back many layers because of it. And a good book and good poetry should be able to do that for right. you, to give you emotions, but also to be for a time and a place within your life and what you need to get out of it.
You just said a bad word.
I did. Emotions. Oh, give me a break.
You really thought you said a bad word.
You're upside down. Like,
I
know.
Damn. Like,
going back to the novels and verse, one that I read recently was Other Words for Home, a beautiful story by Jasmine Warga. And then one that I have absolutely loved was Starfish. Incredible book. Really well done. So both of those are novels and verse that are done superbly well.
Superbly well.
Yes. We're throwing out all the vocabulary.
You are using some big words today. I don't appreciate it.
Does it make you discombobulated?
Shut the hell up. Oh, my God.
Indubitably.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. Oh, my Jake's gosh. It's going to be
like
word of
the day toilet paper. Like, like what's today's word of the day? I'll start taking pictures of that. Like, today's word of the day.
That would be hilarious. I actually used to write quite a bit of poetry. My sixth grade teacher was absolutely incredible, and she gave us all spiral notebooks at the beginning of the year for sixth grade, and every day, every single day, we had a writing prompt. And we had a huge lesson on poetry, and it was something that I really loved.
Do you still have that spiral notebook?
I actually do. I still have it.
I have no doubt that you do.
Yeah, I still have the spiral notebook and a couple of the other poems that I did when I was younger. One that I just barely thought of while we've been talking is one that I wrote called "The Light in the Dark," and it was about teachers. Because I loved my sixth grade teacher so much. So poetry can be very personal.
Yeah, I don't plan on writing poetry.
I think you should give it a try, Brandon. I think your next novel should be a novel in verse.
No, we're going to stay clear of that.
I think, Jake, you should pick your very favorite poem that you've written and post it so we all can read it.
Yes.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea at all.
I love that idea. I really love that idea.
I will have to go dig into a couple of bins and see if I can find my notebook. I know I still have it. I just don't remember exactly where it's at.
Back in my emo phase, I used to do some poetry.
Oh,
very dark.
Jason, I love that you had an emo phase.
I did. Actually, I had several of them, about 5 or 6 centuries apart. My recent one, I was doing poetry a little bit here and there. I have none of it left. It's all been destroyed, burned, buried under 10 feet of concrete, steel, and all that stuff. But they were there for a bit.
Very, very emo of you to have disposed of it.
I was going to say, Jason, that was very John Wick of you. Like, bury that poetry. You know, sledgehammer to, you know, destroy your garage floor to get to it.
Absolutely. That's where you hide all the best bodies.
Exactly.
You keep your bodies?
Oh, well.
Amateurs.
I know. No, actually, back in the old days, yes, we did, but we upgraded now. Wood chippers are great things. And they're really good for the soil.
How do we? Every time we get off topic about this kind of stuff, like every time.
Of course.
I love it.
That is my job.
You know, I would love to see Jake as an emo.
Oh, I am all about the emo music.
Don't you listen to like Irish emo music or something like that?
I listen to Irish punk rock.
Interesting.
I
it is some of my favorite,
but
music.
I need to look it up. I need you to send me some like examples of that, Jake, because
I will send you some. It's like Flogging Molly and the Dubliners and the Dropkick Murphys. So
now Jake has went. I'm gonna put you on the spot here for a second because.
Okay.
We're off topic, and I'm just going to stick with off topic. I want to know, do you listen to that when you're at the gym?
So no, I don't listen to that when I'm at the gym. I actually just listen to my audiobooks when I'm at the gym.
Ugh. I can't. I just can't. Bless you for being able to do that. I can't do an audiobook when I'm at the gym. It is heavy metal.
I love listening to the story. While I'm on the elliptical and stuff.
I watch Netflix.
That's a good idea too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I So here's my problem with doing music is that if I listen to music, I will fall into the beat of the music. And every single song, I will be going faster or slower, depending on that. And it's not very conducive to my heart rate.
Well, okay, I can get that. But I do want to say, in a public setting, Jake, I'm very proud of you for going to the gym.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. It is the first.
Jason, you be quiet. Go drink a drink. Drink a juice, Shelby. Drink a juice.
It is the first few steps in a very long journey, and I am here for it. So,
and I got your back. I'll help you out.
Thank you. I heading back into poetry. Yes. Good poetry of any sort should bring up a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions for you.
Gross. Okay.
Don't gross me. That's come gross. On.
Okay.
A really good poem will have you feeling things even if you don't understand what it means.
So what is your favorite poem?
Ooh, you would ask that. I don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, you can't ask me that because I don't know. I don't know any. So that's just a random question. But
I definitely would have to go to with like, I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor.
Oh, okay.
Because that is, you know, the quality of poetry and the height of sophistication.
Now, I stop it. I didn't even catch that right away. I was like, wait, pause.
Wait for it.
Like, very okay. I just can't with you, Jake. I can't.
I know.
Now you made me. I completely forgot what I was going to say. Completely gone. It's gone.
I don't know. I know that there is a lot of poetry that I do like. Do I have a favorite poem at this point? No, I don't. I'm still discovering that.
Now, do poems have to be short or can they be pretty lengthy?
Oh, no, they can be super lengthy. Like we talked about with novels and verse, like they can be extremely lengthy.
The Epic of Gilgamesh. Epic poems, literally.
Yeah, epic poems. I'm going to toss this out there. Even before Dr. Seuss, there are poems that you learn.
Okay.
In nursery rhymes.
Oh, okay.
And one of the ones that I'm thinking of is Old Mother Hubbard.
God, I haven't heard that one forever.
Yeah.
So, I couldn't repeat that one if I tried right now.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone, but when she got there, the cupboard was bare and the poor little dog had none.
Okay.
That is the first verse. That's the one that most people know.
Oh, it goes on beyond that?
Oh, there are 27 verses.
Shut the hell up. 27.
27 verses of that lovely little
poem. Dear Lord.
No, I cannot do them all.
I didn't mean like right now. I'm just saying in general. Can you do them all? No.
Can I
I'm
what?
I'm just saying in general. Can you do them all? No.
No. Okay. No.
Humpty Dumpty is poetry?
Humpty Dumpty is poetry. All the nursery rhymes are poetry.
Okay. We'll be addressing that further on into season 4. We're going to do we're doing fairy tales. Not nursery
rhymes. We can do fairy tales and nursery rhymes is kind of the same thing. So it's all the stuff that you hear growing up. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
we'll do that.
Not too sure if it's a poem or not, but Ring Around a Rosie.
Yeah, that is totally poetry.
Talking about the bubonic plague.
The bubonic plague, exactly.
Yeah. Classic, you know, dark Jason comment, and I love it.
That one's a great
absolutely
allegory. conversation.
Yes, very much so. Kathleen.
And as a young girl, I remember you would do it with a friend or maybe even a couple friends, and there were those hand clapping
games.
And there was always different probably rhymes, or and it was kind of sing-songy. But as you were talking about the nursery rhymes and stuff, I triggered that memory of that. And now I'm going to be searching my brain to come up with what some of those sing-songy poems were. Because that was always really fun.
No, hand games, all the jump roping rhymes, double and stuff, dutch. Like all of that. Yeah.
Wait, absolutely. So what, Bloody Mary? What about Bloody Mary? You never did Bloody Mary.
That's
you...
ritualistic, okay. But
I was like, wait, was there a rhyme with that? I
don't think I'm not too sure if that's a
yeah.
It's actually not poetry.
More of an incantation.
It's a summoning.
That is not poetry. It's a summoning.
Jake's like, that's a ritualistic?
That was an excellent try, Brandon. Good job.
I play the dumb boy well.
You are such a dork. Oh, anyway, my gosh.
And Carolyn says 100% on that. Thanks, Carolyn. Thanks, Carolyn.
No, that's not what I meant.
I know. I got to bring in the humor every once in a while, right? Got to bring it in. Jake, we probably have about a minute left, and then we got to do our closing spiel.
Yeah. The point is there's poetry out there, and find what works for you. Because, again, you don't need to be... If a poem is out of your grasp, out of your reach, please don't take that as all poetry is just the worst and you hate it. Like, go to a poem that works for you. And if that's Red Fish, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, great. Awesome. You read poetry. You are totally there. And if that is the extent of your poem writing, guess what? You're a poet.
And you didn't know it.
Brandon is a poet, right? Bam! There.
We've all heard that one. We've all heard that one.
We have all heard that one. But guess what? That's poetry. And on that poetic ending, Brandon.
What?
We're going to wrap up our show.
Jesus. It is that time, isn't it? So, Jake, what should everybody be doing?
Everybody should definitely be following us on podbean.com. Give us that follow. Give us a like. Give us a comment. Make sure that you, if you're on Twitter, make sure that you're following the Writer's Block on Twitter. Brandon does such an amazing job of posting articles and pictures and all sorts of things on each of our topics each week. And we really appreciate him doing that. Go and check those out if you want more information.
Yes. And next,
also, we want to make sure that you join us over on Facebook as well.
Yes.
Same thing, Writer's Block over on Facebook. Yes,
that group is growing as well. Next week, Jake, do you know what our next week episode is?
I just had it on the tip of my tongue because I looked it up right before this. But I can't remember it right now.
It's anthologies. It's anthologies.
Oh, yeah, anthologies.
Wait, let me make sure. Yes, it's in anthologies.
Okay, I was like, please tell me that that's correct.
Next week we'll be talking about anthologies. And we're coming up towards the end of season three. Stumbled on that one.
Yep, season three. We're not to season four yet. Not to
season four yet. But we had a big week this week for the show, or this month for the show. And Jake and I both want to thank everyone. We had a 27-day streak with downloads.
It was huge. It was amazing.
We don't know why or how, but it was amazing.
Well, we know why, because we have amazing audience, obviously.
You guys out there are crushing us with everything on there, and we appreciate it. And just sitting back and watching it, and we're like, every day, Jake and I, what the hell? What the hell? I'm not mad about it. What the hell? So it was thank you. Make sure we mention that to everybody. So, but on that note, we will be back next week at 7 p.m. for Anthology Talk. So if you have, bring your questions, bring your comments, bring your concerns, just be here. That's all we're saying. So
7 p.m. EST.
All right, everyone. Thank you. You have a great week and keep your writing.
Yep.
Bye.